Chapter 2. The next several days passed in a haze, with me working to recover my strength and inventory the storeroom. I also began to explore the building in which I currently resided. I found some flashlights in the storeroom, along with a shelf of batteries, so I was able to see where I was going. There were two offices adjoining the room with the desk. Both were in the same state of disrepair as the one I had originally found. When I opened the door that led out of the office, though, I found a hallway with a number of bullet holes and what looked suspiciously like blood stains. I retreated back to the storeroom, closing the secret door behind me, and I decided to stay there until I was better able to deal with whatever had happened beyond my safe space. Several days passed, and I got most of my strength back. However, I was no closer to figuring out who I was. If that information existed, it wasn't in the office. I went through most of the paperwork on the floor one day. It appeared the office was engaged in some sort of import-export business. Although the back two rooms showed this was sort of a cover for whatever business they were really engaged in. Somehow, I didn't think there was a lot of money to be made running an illicit tanning bed operation, unless we were located somewhere really far north or south. And it still didn't look like a tanning bed, not with all the wires attached to it. Something in the back of my mind recognized it, but it was like an itch I couldn't scratch. I just couldn't quite come up with the answer. Even though I was sure, the tanning bed was the answer to all my problems. I awoke to strange noises coming from the outside of the secret door. There were people in the outer office. Their voices were muffled, and I couldn't hear what they were saying, but based on the state of the office on the other side of the door, something bad had happened, and I doubted their intentions were pure. Quickly, I grabbed one of the loaded pistols, a Sig Sauer P220, if the writing on the barrel could be believed, and went to stand by the secret door. I couldn't remember if I had ever fired a pistol before, but it felt good in my hand. "See that?" a man's voice asked from the other room. "There was a flash of light under that wall there." Shit, they must have been standing in the dark and they'd seen my flashlight. I switched it off and put it in a cargo pocket. "Got it," a second voice, also male, answered. "It just went off." A light went on in the office, and I could see a little bit with the illumination from under the door.
"Yeah, but it was moving,"
the first voice said.
"There's someone behind that wall. There must be a secret door there somewhere."
Even through the wall, the man had a strange accent. Both men deleted the final consonant of most words and made the vowels nasally. I tried to place it. It was almost French. Then I had it. Cajun. But there was really only one area that spoke with a Cajun accent. Was I in Louisiana? For the life of me, I couldn't remember ever having been to Louisiana. Maybe I'd gone to Mardi Gras and been trampled? While I remembered seeing Mardi Gras on TV and it had looked fun, I couldn't remember actually going to it. It seemed like I would remember if I'd been there. Or here, if the man's accents were really Cajun. My thoughts were interrupted as someone began beating on the wall.
"Hey, you in there," the second man said. "Let us in."
That wasn't going to happen. While they thought I might be in the room, there was no sense confirming it for them, so I remained silent. They neither sounded like a rescue party nor the police, and that made them bad men in my book.
"Yeah,"
the second man said as the pounding ceased.
"This section of the wall's funny. I think this is some sort of hidden door. There's no handle, so there must be a hidden catch somewhere."
"What do you think?"
the first man asked.
"Can I knock it down?"
"Probably,"
the second man said after a pause. His voice got louder as he continued.
"Hey, you in there, you let us in. We'll let you go. You can even keep some of whatever you're hoarding, except for any weapons, those are ours. If you make us knock in the door, though, I'm going to be pissed off and have to kill you. Last chance."
I nodded to myself. They weren't with the local authorities, which made them looters, or worse. All I could see was a dim outline of the pistol in my hand, and I tried to remember if I had any experience with the weapon. Did it have a safety? I couldn't tell. If I'd ever been familiar with its operation, I'd lost that knowledge. With a crash, the secret door burst open, and a burly man fell forward into the tanning bedroom. Without conscious thought, the pistol came up in a two-handed grip, and my finger squeezed the trigger as the sights came into alignment, holding it tightly for the first double-action shot. The gun fired, and the bullet hit the man lower than intended, going through his side just above the hip. Already cocked, the second shot required less pressure on the trigger, and the next round hit him in the chest as he spun around after getting hit the first time. "Hey!" The second man's shout was cut off as my third round caught him in the chest. He went down hard, and his flashlight flew through the air, randomly illuminating the room with its twirling light. I stalked toward where the second man lay twitching, barely conscious of what I was doing, and looked into the office when I heard a noise. A third person running out the door. The flashlight he carried was going everywhere in his haste, and the strobing of it made him a difficult target. My pistol snapped up and I fired, but he was out the door. I fired four more times through the wall, trying to judge where he'd be. Then the pistol ran dry. I ejected the magazine, slapped in a new one, and allowed the slide to slam forward as I ran out the door after him. The man was just going around the far corner at the end of the hallway. Although he staggered around the corner as if he'd been hit, he was still on his feet and running. I had no idea where he was going or if he might have other people waiting there, so I pulled out my flashlight and looked at the hallway wall. There was fresh blood, but not a lot of it. Judging by the way he was running, it wasn't a fatal hit. I went back into the secret room. As I approached, the second man I'd shot tried to bring up his pistol. My right hand snapped up, and I fired a round through his head without any conscious thought, then stared down at my hand in horror. I just killed two men, with no more thought than stepping on ants. Was I some sort of psychopathic killer? Was the secret room a treatment facility, somewhere where they could do electroshock therapy on me to cure me? Was that why the tanning bed had all the wires? I had no idea, but the one thing that went through my mind was flee. I had to get out of there. If there was only one thing I was certain of, it was that the third man was going for reinforcements. I didn't know how long it would take them to get here, but I knew the clock was ticking. Psychopathic killer or not, I still didn't want to have my own life ended, so I hurried into the storeroom. I had already staged some of the things I thought I'd need most if I had to bug out, so it didn't take me long to throw together a large duffel bag of food, water, and a couple changes of clothes, as well as a handbag containing several pistols and a couple of grenades, there weren't any long arms, and all the ammunition I could comfortably carry. I strapped on a large knife that I'd found on one of the shelves and buckled on two holsters for the pistols I wanted to have available. Two of the P-220s, then walked back into the room with the tanning bed to see if I could learn anything more about my would-be killers. A quick search of their bodies didn't yield anything worthwhile, although I noticed both men had blue pieces of material around one of their upper arms. I took the one that wasn't covered in blood and stuffed it into a pocket. As I raced to get my gear, I realized the sight of blood and death hadn't bothered me. Perhaps I was some sort of psycho killer after all. Shrugging off the thought, it didn't really matter since I didn't want to die no matter who I was. I shouldered the duffel bag, grabbed my other bag, and left the office. I turned right on leaving, figuring the man who'd gotten away had been headed toward an exit, and two turns later made it to where I could see daylight. Unfortunately, that daylight was broken by the shapes of a number of men coming into the building. "There he is," one of them yelled, and I turned and ran.